God. It's so good to be in God's house, isn't it?
Yeah.
To be in His presence and to worship. So good. This morning, I want to share a word about the full gospel because we have a week of evangelism ahead of us. And it's about sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to talk about the full gospel. The full gospel, the way that Jesus shared the good news. It's the full gospel. And many of you will probably have received, when you came to us at first, a little card for Life Centre. And it says, we are here to help you. And it's got 4 points. Find God. That's the first. We are here. You exist to help other people find God. As number one, first step. Number two, experience freedom. Discover your purpose. And finally, help make a difference. There are steps, stepping stones. That's the full gospel. It's not about just people attending a church. It's about people finding their full destiny. In scripture, when it talks about salvation, that word salvation means a lot more than what we think about when we hear the word salvation in English. It means deliverance from and preservation from destruction and judgment. So when we are saved, we are preserved, we will not be destroyed in judgment because we have received forgiveness from God. It also means saved from enemies. Remember, your enemies are not flesh and blood. Mm-hmm. Flesh and blood may be involved, but behind there are spiritual forces. Saved from sin. Praise God. Delivered from slavery.
Amen.
Delivery from slavery. People are slaves to things. Health, preservation of life, and physical health. Every kind of health. Salvation from physical infirmities. All kinds of deliverance. Final and complete deliverance from all curse, including death. Remember, death is the final one to be defeated. That's what salvation means. It's full. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. For I have delivered to you first of all that which I also received, which Christ died for our sins according to scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to the scripture. This is the gospel in a nutshell. Christ died for a sin according to scripture, the way God planned it. He rose again. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. This is the gospel. We know this so well, don't we? So powerful, so glorious. Because he rose, we too will rise again.
Amen.
He has made the way for us. So glorious. And then in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Jews first, also for the Greek. It is the power of God. The gospel is not just a message. It is power. It is power. When you go with the gospel, when you go with the full gospel, you go in with power. Power of God. God, the creator of all the universe. It's much more powerful than we ever dreamt of when we first heard. Every day, the Holy Spirit wants to give you a greater revelation of the power. Jesus is our ultimate example of how to evangelize. Would you agree? He's the ultimate example. So let's look at what Jesus said in Luke 4:18, and we know, of course, he was quoting from what was prophesied in Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. This is the full gospel. What does it start with? First of all, the Holy Spirit is on me. The Spirit of God is on me. Preach the gospel. What I want you to see is, I want you to see that the Lord ministers to spirit, soul, and body. That's the full gospel. We cannot stop at a person making a commitment to the Lord. We have to make disciples. This is a process. So the Lord starts with preaching the gospel. What does the gospel minister to? Does that minister to your body? Maybe not. But it ministers to the spirit of the man or woman. And when they respond, when we responded, our spirit became alive. We were born again. The gospel starts with being born again, ministering to the spirit. So when you were born again and you said yes to Jesus, your spirit was made whole. But you go and look in the mirror, guess what? You've got the same face as before. Yeah? It's like when you go to the hairdresser and you look in the mirror and you think, still look the same. Yeah, because you are the same. What I'm saying is, when you're born again, it's in your spirit. But you may still have ailments in your body, and you may still have hurts in your soul. Your soul is your emotions, your mind, your way of thinking. Our way of thinking has been corrupted over many years. Oh my. We've all here come from many different nations. And so we have a cultural influence in our mind. I have a Western mindset that is being changed into a kingdom mindset. The Western mindset is not necessarily godly, I can tell you that. Because from being young, going to school, we have been brainwashed into certain lies which are not kingdom. Yes. Me personally, being brainwashed into this lie, there's not going to be enough food for everybody. There's not room for all these people. We need to reduce the world population. That is not the word of God. That is a lie from the enemy. And it infiltrates and it goes into the United Nations, who sends out medicine to poor countries which are covered to make people infertile. This is from the devil himself. This is not kingdom. Because God says, go forth and multiply. If you live according to the word of God, there will be enough. He's more than enough for us. You see, that's just one example of how our minds get corrupted and it slowly seeps out. So the Lord wants to minister first to our spirit. When you are born again, your spirit is made perfect. Perfect alive in the kingdom of God. But do you understand how your mind and your emotions and your body can still have troubles? And that is what we need to address as well. And when you are making disciples, you need to help these people address that. This is a commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. This is not just talking about a broken heart because the boyfriend walked away. This is talking about people that are crushed. This is people that have confusion in their minds. There's a lot of mental health issues. Actually, Scotland has got the worst record in Europe on mental health. Did you know that? What's the root cause? What is the root cause? Sin. Iniquity and transgression. But Jesus said, I will heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive. Many people are held captive. They're captives to sin, captives to poverty, captive to the wrong way of thinking. Recovery of sight to the blind. That's saying that God wants to heal and cancel everything that starts with DIS. Every disability. That's our challenge, church. The church is the answer to disability.
Yes.
We cannot stop with the gospel only to deal with the spirit of the person. We must do what Jesus did. He dealt with every disability. Yes, he did. Don't limit the power of God by small thinking. Don't limit the power of God working through you. As you go out this week, it's the power of God working through you. Do not limit. Change your way of thinking. It's the power of God working through you. Remember, when you go, Jesus is in you and you are in Jesus. Not so long ago, we had our medical clinic, and it was on Zoom. And the person needed that physical healing, but the person also said that got dyslexia. And the spirit just came on me, and I said, in the name of Jesus, we cancel and we cast out every spirit that starts with D-I-S. We cast it out. And Richard, who sits at the back, prayed a powerful prayer, and we said to this person, go and get your Bible and start reading. And she was able to see words for the first time. Oh, wow. It's the Holy Spirit working through us. We are boasting in the Holy Spirit. We are boasting in the power of God. We are just mere vessels. We are just ordinary people, but it's the power of God. You've got gifts of healing. You have, because the Holy Spirit is in you. Jesus is in you. You can do this. Not just can you do it, you're commanded to do it. This is the full gospel, people. This is the full gospel. Several weeks later, she sent an email, thank you, I'm doing really well. And I am so amazed at how well my reading is going.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
We cancel everything starting the DIS, that's what Jesus said, to set at liberty those that are oppressed. What is oppression? Demon possessed. Demon oppression. There's a spiritual world here, people. There's a spiritual world, and Jesus dealt with that. So salvation is ministering to spirit, soul, and body. Remember, Jesus said, you will do even greater things. Oh. But if we are just able to do what Jesus did and what the first church did, I think that's a good starting point, isn't it? Let's go there. Let us not be content with what we've seen so far. We've only just touched. We're just starting this journey. There is so much more. So much more. Let's go to Matthew 28. You know these scriptures so well, but let's go deeper in what the Spirit wants to tell us today. Jesus came and said to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is a great commission. What does Jesus say? Go. Go. Oh, why is it we find it so difficult? He says, go, and we stay. My conclusion is we are far too self-focused. Remember when Moses was told to go to Pharaoh? Oh, I stepped up, I can't speak. I can't do this, I can't do that. He had a long list of excuses, which are probably very similar to your excuses and my excuses. What did God say? He just answered all the excuses with one thing. I will be with you. Mm-hmm. Jesus does the same. Because after it says go, it says therefore. Therefore. Every excuse you and I have for not going is in the therefore. What's the therefore? Because all authority, all authority, all authority, all authority. And Jesus is in you, and you are in Jesus, therefore you have all authority. So there's no excuse anymore. There's no excuse for us. It is all authority, so we just go. Mel and I often use the example of our trips to Pakistan. We had received this prophetic word about being ministering, we should be ministering to some Muslim people, and we are thinking, there was a man in the church at the time, he used to deliver milk to all the Pakistani shops, they used to call them. Probably not politically correct. And we thought, oh, there'll probably be some ministry there, delivering milk. Richard was his name. He was always witnessing to these people and telling them what the bit of the gospel and about Jesus. But no, 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 it was completely different. And then we went to this conference, this preacher was sharing about how he was ministering in Pakistan, and they had all the armed guards, and then there was an uprising, and he was to make the decision, the security company was saying, do we use the weapons or not? And Melvin turned to me and said, is this one place I really don't fancy going? Really don't fancy going. Not that I did. Lo and behold, in less than 1 year, we find ourselves in Pakistan preaching to like 700-800 people at the time. Only God could do that. Only God could do that. The point is, we were astounded at what God did. We were blown away at how many people were saved, how many people were healed and miracles, and people filled with the Holy Spirit. We were so blown away by what God did. I think that why? Just because we went. Just because Jesus says, go, I will be with you. Go. So you just go. It's not our own strength. It's not. It is the Holy Spirit through us. As we go, I was astounded. The Holy Spirit, he knows what he's doing all the time. I remember we were used to be involved in Light and Life, and this is another kind of outreach, and people come in and you do their spiritual reading, meaning you prophesy over them. I'm sitting there absolutely thinking, I don't have anything, I don't have anything. But the Holy Spirit always comes through. And what I learned is this, the Holy Spirit, he is so much more interested to minister to that person than I could ever know. It is not about what I think or what I feel if I'm able. He ministers because it's a God appointment for that person. When you go and you lay hands on someone, when you are Morrison, and you lay hands on them because they're sick, it is a God appointment. It is your hand, but it's actually the hands of Jesus. It's actually the hands of Jesus. So forget about how you feel or how you think. Remember, it is the work of God through you. We have to take a risk, people. Step out of our comfort zone. It's not comfortable for everybody, for hardly anyone, to go into Morris and say, I see you've got a broken leg, can I pray for you? No, let's really be honest. It's not in our comfort zone. But this is the kingdom that we are in. And we are commanded to do it. And as soon as we go, the Lord shows up. The other thing that we would do in Light and Life is dream interpretation. And sometimes I would find, for whatever reason, I would find myself in a situation, I'm the only one to do the dream interpretation. I'm thinking, oh dear, this is a big responsibility. But the Holy Spirit always comes through. Why? Because he wants to minister to that person. It's a message from God to that person. Do you think the Holy Spirit is going to say, no, I'm just not going to do it? No, even if we're really, really thick, he still gets it through to us. He does. If we're in a team, then he just gives a little bit to each one and it all fits together. If you find yourself and you're on your own, he shows up. He always does. He always does. It's his promise. Go. Go. order to minister, we need to know the Word of God. And we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Melvin spoke last week, it was Pentecost, about speaking in tongues and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Do not neglect being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because we need to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. So we need both. We need to know the Word. We need to know the law of God. Because what did Jesus say? You're to teach them what I've commanded. We need to know the commandments of God. Do not neglect the Word of God and the law of God. The whole universe operates by it. We need both. We need to be filled with the Spirit and we need to have the Word. Both. If it's only the Word, it will just kill. You need the Holy Spirit as well to bring the life of God. Teaching them. This is how we make disciples. Just this week, the statistics came out for Scotland for the number of abortions in 2022. Really, my spirit just broke when I read it. It's the highest number on record, 16,596.
Wow.
In this Scotland, 19% higher than previous years.
Wow.
Do you realize how significant this is in the spiritual world? Because this is innocent blood that's been sacrificed. And it opens up for the enemy. It empowers darkness. Who's the answer? Who's the answer to this? We must preach the gospel, the full gospel. The full gospel. When I grew up, my parents were not born again when I was a small child. They were not born again. But if you ask them, they could tell you the Ten Commandments. And they could tell you that the Bible is the Word of God. And they knew what sexual immorality was. But they would not go there. They were by no means perfect. When I grew up, my parents had a lot of disagreements. I remember seeing the coffee cup flying across the room. Yes, my parents were by no means perfect. But they knew the Word of God because at that time, I come from Denmark, at that time it was a Christian nation, as in you were taught the Bible. You were taught the Ten Commandments. Yes, people still sin, but people knew. Nowadays, when we meet people, people have no idea. We minister to people, and they don't know. About sexual immorality in the Bible points it out and spells it out. It tells you what sin is. A woman sleeping with a woman, a man sleeping with a man. It tells you in the scripture. It tells you what incest is. It tells you. The Hebrew language is very, very precise. It even goes into the sexual immorality. It's about uncovering someone's nakedness. Uncovering someone's nakedness. So when you talk about incest, it's not just going the whole way. The penetration, this is uncovering someone's nakedness. When you are sinning against God, and when you sin against God, it's an opening for the enemy. It is. And we've just set the captives free. We need to know the law of God to help people to be free so that they can confess their sin. We have to confess our sin. They have to confess their sin. Repentance is key for freedom. Repentance is the most powerful tool that God has given us. We cannot, by ourselves, do away with our sin. And you cannot be free from your sin by your own strength. You have to confess it and apply the blood of Jesus. That is the only way for us and for other people. Years ago, I used to listen to some of the teaching by Derek Prince, very good Bible teacher. Do you know what he said? This really shocked me at the time. He said, I don't find any biblical basis for people being forgiven unless they have specifically repented from that particular sin. And then he quoted 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is an if there. Do you see it? There's an if. There's a condition. How often we are helping people to get free from certain things, and it turns out, did you ever read horoscope? Did you ever go to fortune telling? Yeah, but that was when, before I was saved. But did you repent from it? I never really thought about that. Huh? Come on, people. We need to apply the word of God, word by word, step by step. He says, confess your sin. Don't worry about the babies. Babies just worshiping the Lord. We have to confess our sin. And we need to teach people, for people to be free. Again, in the Western culture, it's not the done thing to walk about and confess your sin to one another. In the Western thinking, no, I don't need to do this, I don't need to do that. That is all based on pride. That is the spirit of pride. Do you see that?
Yeah.
That is the spirit of pride. No. We must humble ourselves. We must repent. The Greek word for repent is metanoia. I'm probably not pronouncing it anywhere near like it's supposed to. It means a change of mind, a change of will that will result in a change of heart, which will result in change of action. Yeah. If we truly repent, we will have a change of way we think and a change in the heart, and that will result in a change of action. You know, if you're smoking and then you repent before God, but then halfway through you say to the prayer team, oh, can you just give me a break? I'm going out for a smoke. Come on, that's not repentance, is it? That is not repentance. There should be a change in action. We change and we turn ourselves away from sin and towards our Savior. We turn away from sin and towards the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got examples of this all over the scripture, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Let's just look at Solomon, 1 Kings 8, 47 and 48. When they have come to themselves in the land where they were carried captives and repent and make supplication to you in the land of those who took them captive, saying, we have sinned and done wrong. We have committed wickedness. And when they return to you with all their heart and all their soul in the land of the enemies who led them away captive, and pray to you towards the land to which you gave to their father, the city of which you have chosen, and the temple which I have built for your name. Do you see there how they repent? We have sinned. We have done wickedly. You have to repent before the Lord. I have to repent before the Lord. And in Joel 2, 12 and 13, now therefore says the Lord, turn to me with all of your heart, with fasting and weeping and the mourning, so you rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great of kindness. He will relent from doing harm. Rend your heart, not your garment. You know how you read in the Old Testament, they were tearing their clothes and put ashes over themselves. This is when they were repenting before the Lord. But the Lord says, I want it in your heart. I want your heart to repent. Lip service, but not heart, doesn't work. The Lord sees everything. He sees our heart. If we don't mean in the heart, the Lord knows. So we need to rend our hearts. It needs to be, so when you're leading people into salvation, allow the Holy Spirit Because he is the one that convicts of sin. Allow him to minister to the person's heart. If they weep, do not interfere, because this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Very often we minister to people, you see the Holy Spirit, and we just say, can you just ask the Holy Spirit, is there something else you need to repent from? Just like that, the Holy Spirit will show them. Every single time. If the heart is broken and crying out to God, the Holy Spirit will show them. We are not there, you are not there to condemn the person. You are there to point them to Jesus. Let them repent. Let them repent with weeping, if it is weeping. When the revival took place in the Hebrides, the people that got converted, it was something like 98% or 99% never backslid. Why? I think one of the keys was when people got under conviction of sin, the ministers and the Christians, they left them. They didn't run over to them the churches. They left them. Some of them, they left them weeping for 24 hours before God. Why? Because this is repentance. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. True repentance will bring true life of God, which will be a change of mind, a change of heart, and a change of action. These people became missionaries. These people became men and women of God because they repented from their heart. We need to come back to true repentance. That's the full gospel, because that changes. Repentance is the way for us. Psalm 51:16-17, you do not desire sacrifice, or else I will give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. When we break our heart and repent, the Lord comes and brings healing. It is so important that we minister like this. When we minister to people, it's important that we allow people and lead them into repentance for their sin. But the scripture talks, when it talks about sin, it talks about three different kinds of sin. Sin, as in sin, iniquity, and transgression. And this is important. Because sometimes there can be a hindrance. So a person gets saved, they've got an illness, the ministry team, you pray for the person, but the person is not healed. They go to another church, they get prayed for, and they're still not healed. Do you think that's lack of faith? I don't think so. Because for a person to come in and walk forward and ask for prayer, that's a sign of faith. When I got saved, I didn't understand the gospel, but I walked from the back of the hall to the front because they said, if you want to get right with God, you walk forward. I walked forward, therefore I got saved. I didn't understand. But so there's something in this action. When a person puts their hand up, God sees that hand. It's a step. So it's not lack of faith, so there will be a hindrance. Sometimes the hindrance is an unconfessed sin. Let's look at James 5:14-6. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Do you see the link? So sometimes people are not healed because they have not confessed a specific sin. So we have been really naive if we are hiding away our sin, then we are just listening to the enemy. Because the Lord says, you confess it, you will be healed. Confess it to one another. Yes, it's not in our Western culture, but this is scripture. Kingdom culture, kingdom culture. We all want to get completely free of everything. To get freedom in your soul, to get freedom in your emotion, to get freedom in your heart, confess your sin. Pray to one another. You will be healed. This is the word of God. It works. A typical obstacle is unforgiveness. You say, do you have someone you need to forgive? No. Then 2 minutes later, oh yes, actually I do have. Very often we see a person, they feel an improvement, but they are not 100% healed. And that hindrance very often is unforgiveness. We say, look, you need to... And if a person is not willing to release forgiveness, you're stuck. That person is stuck. I remember one time ministering to a person, and I was going through every scripture I could think of. This took months, scripture about unforgiveness. And the person said, no, I just can't do it. I can't do it. I'm thinking, okay, just remember grace, give them time. And then I'm doing another scripture and another teaching. No, I can't do it. I can't forgive. And one day I was sitting in the car and the Holy Spirit said, it's the spirit of unforgiveness. So then I thought, I did not think of that. I bind the spirit of unforgiveness and commanded it to be quiet and not interfere with the will of the person. And then asked the person again, do you want to forgive? And the person said yes. And the person was set free. So unforgiveness can also be a spirit. So you have to bind that because the Lord wants everyone to be free. Our enemy is a legalist. The devil is a legalist. Meaning what? He knows God's law. The demons know God's law. Sometimes people say, such a powerful demon. No. They have to obey God's law completely. But sometimes we as believers are really naive about God's law. And we overlook things and we say, it doesn't really matter. The latest one I heard was ministered to somebody and said, yes, but it says everything is permissible. Oh, come on. That's really taking scripture out of context. It does not work. If you want to persuade yourself that something is okay when the Bible says no, okay, I'm telling you, look at the nation of Israel, look at the Jews. How many thousands of years are they still waiting on the Messiah? Has God changed His law for them and they are His beloved? They are His family. His heart is breaking for them. Thousands of years, He's still waiting for them to repent. So do you think that God is going to change His law for you? No way. We have to change and be adjust to His law. His law stands. So when Jesus came in, the demons shouted out. Remember, they said, "Have you come to torment us?" So if demons are manifesting, it is because they are terrified. Terrified of the presence of Jesus. They are terrified. So when the presence of God is here in the church, demons are terrified. I don't know how many people we've had that come. And they got so close and we realized this person needs deliverance. And then the voices persuade that person, go to another church. Go somewhere where we can hide. Oh, it's so sad. So sad. Because we're called to set the people free. They need to be free. It's a commandment. Cast out the demons. Demons can cause sickness. We've got to cast them out. So the devil is a legalist, but he must obey the law of God. Psalm 32. I want you to listen to these couple of verses because it tells you about transgression, sin, and iniquity. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. So here we have three three kinds of sin. We just, in everyday language, we talk about sin. But actually, sin is violating God's law, and most of the time, people don't even realize it. People are sleeping around, they're not married. That is sin. A lot of them, they don't even realize it, but it makes no difference. It opens the door for the enemy. Whether they know it or not, it's still sin. God's law is God's law. That's the full stop. If you go to, before the judge and you say, oh, I didn't know I couldn't use my neighbor's car without asking, do you think the judge will say, oh, because you didn't know? No, 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 no. The law is still the law. Yeah? So that is sin. Iniquity means perversiveness. Iniquity is talking about what comes through the bloodline, because the scripture says a certain sin goes to third and fourth generation, and other sexual immorality, 10 generation. That's a lot of people. So we all have this iniquity coming through our bloodline, and that can impact our lives as well. And then the third area is transgression. That is going over the line. That is willfully knowing. So like King David, he knew it was wrong to take another man's wife. Mm-hmm. He knew. That was a willful sin. Yeah, we've all done it. We've all done some kind of willful sin. So all of these things, if you read this, it says in verse 5, this is the answer to it. I acknowledge my sin to you. You have to acknowledge your sin. Okay, I didn't know that this was a sin, but I did it. That has to be confessed. And my iniquities I have not hidden. So those secrets in the family line, don't hide anymore. Get everything out in the light so you can be set free. When you're dealing with people and you're setting them free, get the family line out so they can be set free. Amen. I will confess my transgression to the Lord. The things that you have done yourself needs to be confessed. We need to confess our own sin. And we are leading other people into freedom. This is the full gospel. Encourage them to confess it out loud. Because you confess with our mouth and you believe with your heart. This is a biblical scripture. Time is gone, but I just want to lay this foundation for us as we are moving into minister. This is the vision of Life Center, is that everyone is equipped to set the captives free. Everyone, we are our place of equipping. Every one of you need to do the three things that Jesus did. Preach the gospel, cast out demons, heal the sick. This applies to all you young people as well. This is not just for older people. Because you're walking in with Jesus. Jesus is in you and you are in Jesus. And we want to equip you. We want to help and share our experience and make sure that together, we do this together to set the people free. Because the people out there are so needy. And they need the Lord Jesus Christ. Set them free in the spirit, in the soul, and in the body. Amen. Amen.